Our first and second estates, Elder Franklin D. Richards, Franklin D. Richards, Conference Report, October 1965, pages 134-137. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has said, if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life. Which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God? In a glorious vision to Moses, we learn that it is God's work and glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Even though this is God's work and glory, life seems to be a mystery to most of God's children. Men wonder, where did we come from, and what is the object of life? The answers to these questions are essential in order for each of us to achieve the maximum benefits, happiness, and peace that this life affords. The object of life. But to us God has revealed the object of life. He has revealed the great truth that He is our Father and that we are His spirit children. I am indeed grateful for this knowledge. And as we appreciate that we are spirit children of our Father in heaven, and limited possibilities lie before us, through the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, we learn that we enjoyed a premortal existence as spirit children of God the Father. In our first estate or premortal existence we had our free agency, and because of our choice and worthiness we were eligible to come to this earth our second estate. Thus, at the time of our earthly birth our spirit entered into our mortal body and became the life of our body. Concept of eternal progress. The knowledge that this life is the second estate opens up the great concept of eternal progress. This is a basic truth of our religious thought. What a tremendous vision this gives us. And why did we come to this second estate? To be proved and tested to see if we will do all things whatsoever the Lord commands us. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Salvation and exaltation. I bear witness to you that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, and that all of God's children will inherit immortality through the atonement of the Christ, but that only those who keep God's commandments and endure to the end will inherit eternal life and exaltation in the celestial kingdom. How many experiences, pleasant and unpleasant, must we have, and how much knowledge must we attain to become perfect? Even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Let us consider this matter before answering. Experience can be a blessing. Great blessings come from the knowledge that we obtain and the experiences we have. And it should be remembered that every experience has a value. The prophet Joseph was proved the same as each of us is. He encountered intense opposition and what appeared to be insurmountable obstacles. When he was crying to the Lord in Liberty Jail in March 1839, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience, and shall be for thy good. I am sure that it was difficult for the prophet Joseph at that time to appreciate how this most difficult experience would be for his good, but it undoubtedly was a preparation for greater tests that came later. I love the prophet Joseph Smith and bear witness that he was one of the great prophets of all time. Zion's Camp. You may recall that historic and memorable journey of Zion's Camp to Missouri, since it failed of its purpose to reinstate the saints in possession of their lands in Jackson County. It was regarded by some as being an unprofitable episode. A brother in Kirtland, one too weak in the faith to go with the camp meeting Brigham Young on his return from Missouri, said to him, well, what did you gain on this useless journey to Missouri with Joseph Smith all we went for? Promptly replied Brigham Young, in the camp's journey of more than 1,000 miles there were many experiences. There were fatigues, hardships, and disappointments to overcome. All of these experiences were valuable to the men who participated in them. Many became the leaders in two great exoduses involving the removal of 12,000 saints from Missouri to Illinois and of more than 20,000 from Illinois to the Salt Lake Valley. In another way also this Zion's Camp experience was profitable. In February 1835 a conference was held in which the prophet explained that the trials and sufferings endured on the journey to Missouri were not in vain, for it was the will of God that those who went to Zion with a determination to lay down their lives, if necessary, should be ordained to the ministry, to go forth to prune a vineyard for the last time. Thus it was from this group that the quorum of the 12 apostles was selected. Again it was the knowledge obtained and faith and strength that was developed that prepared these men for the great work that was ahead of them. Yes. It is essential that each of us learn from our experiences as we are tried and tested by the afflictions of this life. God has explained that this is an important part of this life. It seems, however, that human nature wants to follow the easy paths, but each of us should thank the Lord for the difficulties we encounter. I know that as we look back upon our lives, we will acknowledge that those experiences that were the most difficult were in the end the most profitable. The lessons learned and faith developed in such hours of hardship will prove to be of eternal value to us in our path of eternal progress. Many of us recall the dark days of the Depression in the early 1930s. The loss of one's possessions is a humbling experience, especially with the responsibilities of a family, but the lessons will never be forgotten. Likewise, the loss of loved ones are sad experiences, but these difficult tests build great faith, courage, and humility. In the presence of death we are made humble, for then we realize our own helplessness and our dependence upon our Heavenly Father for comfort. Those who have fulfilled missions understand the difficulties and disappointments in bringing souls into the kingdom of God, but none would deny the great opportunities for personal growth and development as well as eternal joy and happiness. Service to mankind through activity in the church affords one of the great opportunities for experience. This type of experience develops love, faith, wisdom, understanding, discernment and invariably results in increased knowledge. The Savior said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Adversity. The church and the people of the church have encountered and will encounter many trials and tribulations, but as the Lord explained to the prophet in Liberty Jail, all these things shall give thee experience, and shall be for thy good. We should not expect all to speak well of us or expect all to be well with us continually. Let us prepare steadfastly to face adversity regardless of the form it takes, recognizing that such experiences are necessary to the progress of the church as well as ourselves as individuals. God has not promised us that we won't have problems and troubles, but He has promised us comfort, increased faith and knowledge, as well as growth and development as we successfully meet each challenge of life. What may appear to be a small problem to some may be a major one to another. The important thing about a problem is, how do we react to it? As we pursue the study of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, we perceive that it is a grand philosophy of life. Yes, the plan of life. President McKay has said that the purpose of the gospel is to change men's lives, to make bad men good and good men better, and to change human nature, the blessing of the Spirit. How much learning and how many experiences do we need to become God-like? The answer is that we need all we can receive on this earth, and as we successfully meet this life's challenges, we will be prepared for more as we leave this estate and move into the next estate in the hereafter. Our Father has sent us here for a short period of mortal experience. He has given us principles to guide us and has endowed us with free agency to choose our paths. As we choose the right, we are promised eternal progress and love and peace with our families and friends, and He has promised us that as we keep His commandments His Spirit will be with us. Words cannot describe the happiness that comes into our lives when the Spirit of God is with us. This happiness includes a peace that passeth understanding except to the person that receives it. Let us truly appreciate the objects of this life and endure to the end by meeting life's challenges with the determination to make each experience of eternal value to us and thus contribute to our eternal progress. I thank the Lord for the prophet our beloved President David O. McKay, who stands at the head of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints today. May the Lord sustain him in his great calling, and may we all have the good judgment and courage to follow his inspired advice and counsel. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.